Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Klass as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind. My name is Robert Lamb.
And I'm Julie Douglas.
And since this is the Halloween season, and we're talking about creepy, uncanny, scary, frightening, sonic experiences. Let's kick this episode off with just a little bit of the uncanny from the weirding module.
We should talk about this weirding module.
Yes, yeah. Just, real quick. This the weirding module. This is a solo project from musician Christopher Gladwin. Some of you may know him as one half of Team Doyobi. And very accomplished musician, has hands in a number of different projects. But this one is all about the uncanny, about at times the frightening, the unsettling. This particular track was titled Chapter 1, Abysmal Cathedrals Arise, from Melfluorius Ichor from Sunless Regions. And
right there, that gives you a clue.
Yeah, it gives you a clue. And if you recognize the tune, and that's because he's utilizing Symphonie Fantastique from Hector Berlioz. And you may also recognize it because Wendy Carlos used it in the theme to The Shining.
So what we are introducing to you guys today is this idea that a scary movie could perhaps be less scary, or not even scary, without the sort of soundtrack that goes along with it, really amping up our experiences while we're watching something on the screen. And when you listen to something like the weirding module, you can already start to sense that dis-ease, that sort of decentering that music makes you feel with some of the chords and some of the ways that it's arranged.
Yeah, so it raises the question, and this is the question we're going to explore in this episode, to what extent is there something just innately creepy, uncanny, scary, frightening about music like this?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it all cultural? Is it all contextual? So we're going to unravel that. But first, just to rehash, we did an episode a while back called Music on the Brain, where we talked about the various ways that, music speaks to us on a conscious and subconscious level. And we have to think about music itself. What is music? You know, it's obviously a deep part of our cognitive architecture. It changes our mood. It heightens our emotions. And we've yet to find a culture that didn't or doesn't have it. And some evidence even suggests that the Neanderthals, in absence of language, may have used music as a means of communication. Indeed, there are also parts of the brain that respond to music that don't respond to language. Separate parts of the brain that respond to the melody of language differ from the parts that respond to the melody of music. So music is really kind of this uncanny thing in and of itself.
Yeah, I like to bring up cognitive psychologist and linguist Steven Pinker, because he's the guy who, he's pretty brilliant guy, but he did say music is just auditory cheesecake, an accident of evolution. But when we look at music a little bit deeper, then we really begin to see that the case that was made in the documentary The Music Instinct with Bobby McFerrin, that music actually may be a precursor to language, as you had said, is there. Because you think about music, and there's no one music center in our brains. And as you had said, music uses certain parts of our brain that language doesn't. One of the parts that music recruits, and I think this is so interesting, is the visual cortex. And it's thought that the visual cortex actually maps a visual of how the pitch and tone are changing. And in turn, music moves us, literally moves us. We dance to it because we envision the movement in it. So keep that in mind as we continue to talk a little bit more about music and how it manipulates us, and particularly spooky music, how that might motivate us.
The manipulation is key here, because when music psychologists talk about music and emotion, they often distinguish between emotion perception, which refers to the perception of emotions expressed by the music, like, oh, the boss is singing about some sort of sad working class story and run in with the law. That's a sad story. The song is sad. I'm interpreting the sadness of it.
But when you say the boss, you're talking about Bruce Springsteen.
Of course, yeah.
Of course, yes. Yeah.
He's still the boss. I don't think he's that position has not been vacated yet.
Nope.
But then there's emotion induction, and this refers to the listener's affective response to the music.
What I think is interesting about this, it's not just the emotional arousal, it's that we actually will show a physical demonstration of that emotion.
Yes.
And there was a 2009 study of 26 people who, it turns out, bore a strong correlation between subjective emotional response and objective physical response to music. The paper is called The Rewarding Aspects of Music Listening Are Related to a Degree of Emotional Arousal. And it details the chills that someone can feel when they're listening to something.
Yeah, goosebumps, goose flesh, whatever you want to call it. And have you yourself experienced this when you listen to any music?
I think the one that comes to mind is Sinner Man by Nina Simone. And I'm talking about the live version. It's like a 10-minute long song. It is.
How's that go?
Oh, Cinnamon. Actually, you don't want me to do that, because I would do that for 10 minutes and it would be insane. But if you listen to that piece of music, it's a rollicking ride of emotions, and the piano just gets crazy at some points, and it's a very emotional song. And there's a lot of syncopated rhythm with the clapping, which kind of is a stand-in for the percussion in it.
Oh, very nice. Well, I was trying to think of songs that have the similar effect on me. And for my own part, Radiohead's Everything in Its Right Place. Every time I listen to that, particularly just the first few seconds of it, with this kind of cascade of notes sort of finding synchronicity, like that always gives me chill bumps.
Again, I think it's, you say cascading, and there's that movement.
Yeah, it's definitely the movement of the music, and my body moves with it, and I just get the chills every time.
These 26 people who underwent this experiment, well, machines measured their heart rate, respiration rate, body temperature, and galvanic skin response. This is how much, basically, they were sweating in response to the music, and their blood volume pulse. And they were asked to click a button every time that they felt really aroused. And so number four, the four clicking button was the button that correlated with chills. And so they found that 80% of the chills occurred at the highest moment of pleasure reported. So I think that's interesting, that it's a pleasurable response, and yet chills is the expression of the body.
Yeah, you're intensely satisfied by the music, but it's giving you chills. And there was another study we looked at here from neurologist Jack Panksepp of Bowling Green State University. This one's interesting because he found that people listening to music often experience goosebumps because of sad feelings, more so than happy or excited emotions. But a lot of this came down to melancholy associations with the past, which is kind of like, you know, getting into the context issue of all of this. For instance, that song that you listen to 100 times in a row during a breakup, you listen to it 10 years later, you don't care the least bit about that individual, mm-hmm. but that music can still stir something. And there's a bit of nostalgia in that as well. You know, it sort of sucks you back a little bit into that emotional state.
Wasn't the idea behind that is that the listener is feeling nostalgic or sad because they, and having goosebumps as a response because they physically are missing the warmth of that person?
Yes. The researcher argues that music-induced chills are tied into the chemicals released in our brain to deal with social loss. So the idea is that our ancient ancestors might have experienced this if they were separated from a family member, all right? You wander off, and then the cries you hear in the air of lost family members, that'll cause a chill inside you and cause you to have this desire to reach out to the warmth of others.
And I thought it was interesting that this was the response, that these chill bumps, even for someone who would be singing or listening to the Star Spangled Banner.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, well, okay, that's a little bit odd, but when you...
And a little cheesy. No, it's fine, it's fine.
It's nice. But if you peel that back a little bit, then you can say, oh, okay, well, what is it to be... To be moved by that song, you feel united with your countrymen and countrywomen.
Yeah.
So in a sense there's that community-based longing.
Well, it's like with so many issues we've discussed, you can find this sort of core of like ancestral animal organism sense to what happens, but then you pile enough layers of human complexity and human cognition, and it just turns it into a maze.
Yeah, and just to further compound the maze, too, of course, we're going to have to look back at the brain, because I want to look at the amygdala for a moment, in particular when we talk about scary music, because the amygdala, as we know, processes emotion, memory, fear. And to test out the theory that certain strains of music can ramp up or dial down the fear response, researchers in Oxford, England, played different kinds of music for people whose amygdalas had been removed because of an illness or an accident. And then people without this part of the brain actually had trouble recognizing scary music, whereas people with their amygdalas intact had a definite response when scary music was played, as shown by the brain scanners. So, again, there's an idea that there's so many different parts of your brain that are weighing in on the notes that you hear.
Now, I know what a number of you are probably wondering, well, to what extent is it contextual? Is it cultural? For instance, the music we heard at the top of the program, it's by an act known as the Weirding Module. So some of you would, if you hear that, you interpret this kind of strange-sounding name. You're bringing that into the game, or you're recognizing the piece of music sampled in the work as being familiar to something in The Shining. We're bringing all this context, we're bringing all this culture, and so of course we interpret it as creepy. So if you were to play creepy music for someone who had zero experience with any of that, would they still find it scary?
You were talking about the study of the Maffa people in Cameroon who had never, ever heard any sort of strains of Western music. And they were introduced to three Western musical clips, one that is typically thought to be sad, one that's happy, and one that's spooky.
All three examples, by the way, sound like something that would play during an old silent film that would be played on the piano, you know? Like
yeah, they're
the,
very
the villain's
classic.
Tying somebody to the railroad tracks kind of a thing.
Yeah, right, and the music speeds up.
Mm-hmm.
All right, these Cameroonians were also shown something called Ekman faces. And these Ekman faces are photos of standardized expressions of emotions. So in this case, they had a happy, sad, and scared face to look at while they listen to the music. And just like Westerners, the Cameroonians correlated the music type with the same facial expressions. So that would tell you that there's some universality to it. Now, that's not, there are other studies that say, no, some that negate this because there are other cultures that might hear certain notes and interpret in different ways.
Yeah, when you get in deep into, say, the differences between Eastern and Western music, trends in Middle Eastern music versus Western music, then things get a little more complicated.
Well, I was just thinking about Chinese opera, which the tones in a Chinese opera might sound very harsh or dissonant to the Western ear,
yes,
but very pleasant to Eastern ear.
Yeah, there's a fabulous, I think, NPR piece in the past year about a Western opera singer traveling to China and engaging in Chinese opera and sort of dealing with the contrast between Western opera and Chinese opera,
mm-hmm,
between some of the overlap of the performers, and it's interesting because they are such different animals.
Well, even in language, and Allison and I had kind of talked about this a little bit, there's a musicality to language.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at something like Vietnamese, one word can be said in five different tones and mean five entirely different things.
Yeah, so similar thing in Mandarin, yeah.
Yeah, so it's much more nuanced, and it has to be taken into account. But Christopher Gladwin, the man behind the Weirding module, had some very interesting thoughts on this universality.
Yeah, I was exchanging some emails with Chris, and he had a lot of great info to share. And sadly, between the two of us, we didn't have time to do an audio interview, but I'll hopefully be sharing some stuff on the blog from him in the weeks ahead. He said, quote, "There are sounds which almost universally cause revulsion or fight-or-flight responses. The sound of vomiting came out as the most obnoxious auditory experience in a worldwide internet survey conducted by Professor Trevor Cox. The reason for this is that it's hardwired to our biology. Avoid those that are disgorging the contents of their stomachs unless you want the same to happen to you." Other sounds that came out on top were babies crying and nails down a blackboard. Both of these sounds have relatively complex high-frequency tones that we are evolutionarily designed to respond to. Having a year-old daughter, I can appreciate this. Many industrial bands have used such casual tactics, Throbbing Gristle and their use of recordings of dogs attacking a dummy, etc. And he goes on to discuss this in further depth, and I will hopefully share that with everyone later on. But yeah, there are certain things that just as an organism,
mm-hmm,
we feel this either disgust with or,
yeah,
this aversion to, or it just sets up all our alarms. I mean, the baby crying, I too am experiencing that one with the toddler that my wife and I have adopted. He will he'll start, you know, crying or tuning up a little bit in the middle of the night,
mm-hmm,
and it just has this intense effect on me, to where I, even after I put him back to sleep,
mm-hmm,
my heart's just still beating like crazy. Like it's reaching behind my brain and you know, grabbing hold of the reptilian portion there.
Right. Now, is your cat Biscuit mimicking the cries,
yes,
of a newborn?
Yeah. Well, you know, there's that argument that that's what cats are doing anyway, and
mm-hmm,
they're perverse means of manipulating their humans. And so, yeah, there'll be situations where the child is authentically crying, and then the cat is also crying in its mock human voice. And it's you know what this is like. This,
yes,
is frustrating.
It becomes a loud household at 3 a.m.
Yes.
Yeah. Christopher Gladwin also mentions there was a sound that he found difficult to describe. Michael Gira of the Swans, he said, put it best, that sex death sound that comes from somewhere deep inside. There are some experiences of sound that you just get that. You tried to spell that out. That's the best I can do. Feeling from, and some sort of possession occurs. I believe that this connects with some subterranean evolutionary memory, something in our ancestral reptilian fish brain. We still have vestigial fish ears, you know? And I,
yeah,
thought, you know what? That sound, let me tell you this, and I'm going to give you the context. It was not a sexual context, so you don't have to put your hands up to your ears and say, no, 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 no.
Okay.
I did something called the 7-minute workout. Do you know about this?
No.
It is awful. It is like this ramped up, high density, crazy workout you do for 7 minutes at just the best and highest rate that you can.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I heard these noises coming out of myself that I was a little bit ashamed of. I felt a little bit like freaked out that they were actually coming out. But I understand what he's saying. There's a guttural, like, oh my God, I'm dying inside noise that I had never heard come out of myself before. And so there is something to that, this evolutionary, like, oh, there's something wrong.
Yeah, an example of that, I was driving my child around in the middle of the night, trying to get him to sleep immediately after returning home, and he was super jet-lagged, and I was jet-lagged. And so I was listening to Radiolab, catching up on some Radiolab episodes, and there's an excellent one they did recently on rabies.
Mm-hmm.
And in that episode, they play some audio of humans who have rabies and are experiencing that rage and that just, you know, the mindless rage that is associated with the later stages of rabies. And it was extremely unsettling to hear those sounds. Like, and I wonder to what extent it's kind of crossed over to that. This idea that is on some level human, but it must be bodily possession by some outside force that is making that kind of noise.
And you're right, that bodily possession, mm-hmm. as if you were outside of yourself or something was outside of itself. All right, we should probably take a quick break. And when we get back, you and I, Robert Lamb, are going to actually sing some of the strains of music classics, not because we necessarily want to do that to your ears, but because we have no budget.
Correct.
Right, so stand by.
Shout out to Astapro for sponsoring this episode and providing us with free samples.
Rob, as the local host with allergies here, they sent you some of their nasal spray to treat your allergies. What was your experience like?
Yeah, that's right. I always wrestle with the pollen a bit when it rolls in during the spring. So they sent me the little nasal spray. I tried out the product and yeah, it sure did help me get on top of my symptoms for the day. And it's so fast acting, it was already kicking in before I left the house.
Astapro is a first-of-its-kind nasal allergy spray. It's the fastest 24-hour over-the-counter allergy spray. It starts working in 30 minutes, while other allergy sprays take hours. Astapro is the first and only 24-hour steroid-free allergy spray. Astapro delivers full prescription-strength indoor and outdoor allergy relief from nasal congestion, runny and itchy nose, and sneezing.
Get fast-acting nasal allergy symptom relief with Astapro. Go to astaproallergy.com for a discount so you can get Astapro and go today. Astepro allergy.com. Astapro and go. Use as directed for relief of nasal congestion, runny nose, sneezing, and itchy nose due to allergies.
Today's episode is brought to you by eBay. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then, through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. If you haven't heard of Visible, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 a month, every month. Taxes and fees included. Having a one-line plan means you only need you to save. No estranged roommates, exes, cousins twice removed, or AI-powered humanoid robots needed. And because $25 a month really means $25 a month, you can call, text, stream, whatever, as much as you want without worrying about getting dinged at the end of the month.
No hidden fees, no surprises. No, really. It's like the old saying goes, you can't judge a book by its cover, but you can judge a company by its name. So spread the word. Tell all your friends there's a wireless company out there with transparency in their name, and they're called Visible. Start saving on wireless today at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan for data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
All right, we're back. Robert, did you know that in the original cut of Psycho, that Hitchcock did not want those high-pitched violin screams to accompany the shower scene?
You mean
famous
that?
Iconic.
Hey, 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 hey,
hey. Sorry about that. See, again, we have no budget, so that's what you guys are kidding. It was actually his wife, Alma Revel, who was a script writer and actually a director of her own right, and an editor who said, no, you need to check out Bernard Herrmann's score that he's created for this. It's amazing. It's going to do its thing. And they actually tested two versions, one with the violins and one without. And apparently when they showed the audience one without, they were a little like, eh. Okay, yeah. So this woman's getting hacked to death in a shower. But when they accompanied the violin strains of Bernard Herrmann, people freaked out.
Huh. It's interesting to think of having not seen the scene without the music. I mean, it's hard to imagine because it's such an iconic scene. And the two go together so well. And when I imagine the scene in my mind, I'm thinking that's a really horrific scene. You know, even though it doesn't show as much in the way of nudity or bloodshed that mm-hmm. That I'm sure you can get away with today. It's so effective and so disturbing. And yet the music is what seems to make it so effective. Like, in a sense, we can't feel or even imagine what the stabs feel like physically.
Yeah.
Because most of us have not been brutally stabbed with a butcher knife before. But the music kind of fills that place.
It's interesting that you say that it's not that much nudity and it's not that much violence because then what you thought, because a lot of people, when they ask people, you know, about that scene, they tend to envision much more violence and nudity than there actually is because of that heightened emotionality there, I think. And of course, it's that high pitched sound, and we'll get a little bit more into that in terms of the animal world. But I wanted to mention that in terms of pitch, Daniel Blumstein, he scrutinized 102 films and found that horror films had a higher than expected number of abrupt shifts up and down in pitch, which he reported in the Royal Society Journal Biology Letters. So already you can see that there are very different ways that that filmmaker.
Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. The future of wireless is here, and it's transparent. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees, no surprises, no, really.
What are you waiting for? Get with the times and switch to Visible at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan for data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.